This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Rappaport reporting for AvWeb from Sun and Fun 2017, Lakeland, Florida. I'm here with Charles Stites, founder and executive director of Able Flight, and one of their graduates, Justin Falls. Charles, tell me about your program.
Able Flight was founded in 2006 as a way to bring more people into aviation to increase diversity and inclusion. And we had an opportunity because of the light sport rule, light sport aircraft and the sport pilot rule, to make it possible for more people to enter aviation. They could use a driver's license medical for the sport pilot certificate. So we put together a scholarship program, full ride scholarship program, covering all the expenses of flight training, ground training, travel, lodging. Initially started doing it at flight schools, but in 2010 moved it to Purdue University in Lafayette, Indiana. They've been our training partner since then, and we've trained quite a few people there. As a matter of fact, we have, for the people who have gone to Purdue, a 100% success rate for people passing their check rides. And we've trained people who have significant physical disabilities, paraplegics, quadriplegics, amputees who are typically wounded veterans, people who are deaf, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, a variety of physical challenges. We use adapted airplanes for people that need them, which primarily would be the paraplegics, quadriplegics, and amputees. And the goal of the program is to give people increased self-confidence and self-reliance and allow them to look at a broader horizon in terms of being included in something that we all love, which is flying. And now we're looking here at Sun and Fun this year to work with manufacturers to expand the universe of adapted airplanes. So we've been talking to several companies about adapting their airplanes, their SLSAs, to include hand controls so that people like Justin Falls can fly that airplane as well. And we'll have a greater number of airplanes out there for people to use in training or after they get their certificate. So people are in the market for airplanes. They want to be able to continue flying after they get their license through Able Flight. And so that's one of our primary missions this year.
Justin, talk to me about how you ended up a Able Flight scholarship recipient and then eventually an Able Flight graduate.
All right. I guess I can mention just some of my background. I had my injury about 10 years ago. I fell off of a fire escape and broke my neck and became quadriplegic. So initially I couldn't move anything really below my shoulders. So over time, I was able to get back enough movement. My left hand, I have a pretty functional left hand. My right hand is paralyzed, and my right tricep on my right arm is paralyzed. But overall, I have fairly good movement in my arms. But early on, I went back to school after my injury and earned a biology degree, and then went on and just finished pharmacy school. Over time, I started doing some adaptive sports and stuff, but, flying was, like, way off the radar. I never really thought that was something that I was going to do. I grew up less than a mile from an airport, and so I'd always had airplanes flying over my house and always interested in flying, but until I had, just kind of heard of Able Flight, and I was kind of searching one day online and came across some paraplegics that were flying airplanes, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. If it were adapted enough to where I could, use my hands because I can drive a car with hand controls. I figured, surely I could be able to fly a plane. And sure enough, the more I kind of researched, I came across Able Flight, and little did I know, actually, one of the guys that I played wheelchair rugby with had just gotten accepted into the program. And so I was like, wow, that is really cool. And so I started talking to him about it, and then I went on to the website and everything, and I was kind of exploring my options. And I went ahead and decided to apply because I was like, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and if the timing works out. And so now I'm working in a hospital, but I had been there about a month, and I get a phone call from Charles, and I'm thinking, oh no, I wonder if he's gonna give you the scholarship, because here now I have just started a job, and And he said, yeah, I'm calling to, you know, to offer you the scholarship. And I thought, well, let me talk to my supervisor. I don't want to, you know, make any decision right now, but I'd actually started to really like my job. I'd been there a month. And so I went and talked to my supervisor, and they were like, go for it. That sounds awesome. And so I you know, called him back and was like, sure, you know, I really want to do it. It's going to be great. And so that summer, basically we had to start doing online ground school before we got there, and so that way we were prepared to jump right into the airplane and get going, because it's a pretty accelerated program. They want you to, you know, not waste any time. When we got there, about the second day, I was in the air. During the morning, we would fly if the weather was good. In the afternoon, we all the students met back together, about eight students at Purdue University, and we would all meet back together for ground school in a classroom. And then after that, in the afternoon, we were assigned a slot. We could fly again, and all this was kind of dependent on the weather. And on days we couldn't fly, we would still get with our instructor and go over some ground school material. So it was a pretty intensive academic environment, and it was cool to have other students, you know, who had similar disabilities. That, you know, we were all kind of there for each other, and actually got to make really good friends with all of them. I was about 20 hours when I did my first solo. Three landings and three takeoffs by ourselves. That was our first solo. And then I think right after that, I got out of the plane and I just felt like a million bucks, you know? I mean, at that point, I think it was a game changer. It was, I don't know, maybe I could do that. It was, I can do that. You know, I can fly now. And so I immediately went and bought a pair of aviator sunglasses. So I was like, I'm an aviator now, you know, I can do this now. So it was really, really cool. And so about 3 weeks later, I did my check ride. He doesn't give it away, you know, it's a safety thing. It's, you have to fly it to the same standard as any able-bodied pilot. And so it was a little nerve-wracking going into it, but I was told that if he shakes your hand when you get out of the plane, then you're a pilot. And so we got done, and it was a moment there where it was like, I don't know, maybe I passed, maybe I didn't, maybe I did something wrong I didn't know about. But we got out, and he shook my hand, and I was like, all right, I'm a pilot now. So it was really just the greatest feeling to be able to accomplish something that most able-bodied people don't do. Now, you know, I don't feel paralyzed. It's like the wheelchair is on the ground and I'm in the air, you know, and it's really just an incredible feeling.
Charles, we were talking earlier about the deaf pilots you have. How does that work at a towered airport like the one you have at Purdue?
We've trained four pilots who are deaf already at Purdue. We have one scheduled for this year, for 2017. And just involves coordination with the controllers in the tower. For many years, people used light gun signals in the past, and obviously they don't dust those off and use them much anymore. But they can do that. They still have them there. And so we just arranged that the instructor and the student meet with the tower folks prior to the start of training. They go over what protocol the tower wants and what works for the students. So at Purdue, we have the advantage that the tower can see the dispatch area where the planes depart from. They have a good line of sight on that, and so they can coordinate that. Plus, they've been open to the idea, like having the student pilot or the instructor text and say, we expect a departure time of approximately so-and-so. So they're looking for that airplane, and then the student is looking for the light gun signal. So it's that simple. They go away to another airport to do a lot of pattern work during the time the tower is open, just to make it easier if it's solo pattern work. And then they can fly after the tower, before the tower opens in the morning if they want to get up really early, or after it closes in the afternoon. So it's worked quite successfully. There actually haven't been any problems whatsoever with it.
We've been speaking with Charles Stites, founder of Able Flight and Able Flight graduate Justin Falls. I'm Jeff Rappaport, reporting for AvWeb from Sun Fun 2017 in Lakeland, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.